welcome to today's podcast, where I'm going to cover off what is even social selling. A lot of organisations, a lot of people, it's all being talked about. It seems to be the hot topic at the moment, all through 2017, and it's something that we at Digital Leadership Associates actually help organisations understand how to get their head around. But you know, what I thought I'd do in today's podcast is actually take you through my view on what I think it is and how I think organisations can best leverage social in terms of driving overall revenue, lead generation opportunities, better internal communications, and just general better communication internally with the organisation, but also externally with your clients and your targets. So if we take Gerd Leonhard, who is a Swiss futurist, and he wrote a fascinating book called Technology versus Humanity, he touched on a number of things, but one of the things that stands out for me is he mentions that what cannot be digitized is where true value will be driven. And he touches on some points around, the human nature, what makes us, what makes you listening to this podcast, you, is unique, and that cannot be digitized. That will never be turned into robots. They will never necessarily be able to replicate what makes you you. And ultimately, in the world of B2B or B2C, so business to business and business to consumer, people still buy people. And what Gerd goes on to say is that what can't be digitized is where true value will be driven. So if we think about, it's the human trait, it's what makes us us, that is where true value, or true monetary value even, is going to really start to make the difference between you versus the competition, especially in this world of digital transformation as we move forward through 2018, 2019, 2020. Who knows what the world is going to bring, and who knows what is around the corner. So yeah, that's Gerd Leonhard, Technology versus Humanity, great book, highly recommend you reading it. So if we take a step back and look at how Forrester refer to social settings, they describe it as social selling is how organizations use Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and other social networks to find, connect with, understand, and nurture sales prospects. However, they do go on to say that as sellers struggle to gain and sustain their buyers' attention, it is essential to meet customers and prospects where they digitally reside. And that is the key point here. It is essential to meet customers and prospects where they digitally reside. We live in a world which is 24/7, 365 digital. We live our lives addicted to our smartphones, whether we like it or not. The chances are you're probably listening to this on your smartphone, maybe on the way to work, maybe in the evening, I don't know. But it will be in the digital economy, it will be in the digital space that's where we all live, whether we like it or not. And this is where social selling comes into its own, and we'll come onto this. We look at a lot of organizations talk around transformation, and for me, I don't think they're really doing it. There are some are maybe, but I think the majority, when they talk about transformation, they feel they have to be talking about transformation or digital transformation. And I think that digital transformation itself is interesting, because digital actually is just the layer. It isn't anything really. Digital can mean so many different things. But transformation for me is when you fundamentally change the way that you do things. And engaging in social selling is an example of that. You are fundamentally changing the way that your sales function, your marketing function work together and operates in terms of driving better lead generation, better customer conversations. And I think a way to help sort of you visualize this is if you imagine a caterpillar, which then turns into a chrysalis, which then turns into a butterfly, that is transformation. That is a painful process that it has to go through, but it has fundamentally changed the way that it is doing things. So it's the age old, but we've always done it this way. We'll eventually kill organizations. You've got to stop thinking like that. And this is as much a people mindset transformation as it is technology. And if anything, I'd actually say that if you're engaging with social and social selling, the main driver is actually the mindset. It's not necessarily the technology. It's the people, the process, and then the technology. If you look at the world today and where do your customers reside? Where do your clients reside? You know, the biggest CRM system in the world is not your proprietary CRM. It's not even LinkedIn, it's Facebook. You know, Facebook has now over 2 billion monthly users. That's over 2 billion monthly users. Or to put that into some context that maybe you can get your head around, that's actually a third of the planet. So a third of the planet is on Facebook at any given time per month. LinkedIn has tipped the 500 million members now. They have at any given time 100 million active members per month on the platform. 120 new accounts are created every 60 seconds. You look at YouTube, you're getting around 4 million video views per 60 seconds. Video is going to be a really interesting one, I think, through 2018 and how organizations start to use that, but more importantly, how you use that as an individual to drive your personal brand. Look at WeChat. WeChat is the the major platform used over in Asia. Just slightly fewer users than WhatsApp at the moment. I think WhatsApp's taking over around 1 billion. WeChat is around 900, but WhatsApp last year, I think, drove around $50 million in revenue, and WeChat did around 1.8 billion in terms of transactions. Because in Asia, the market has no legacy issues. They've leapt straight to mobile, they've leapt straight to smart, they've leapt straight to smart pay. So they are living their lives on social, and now to the point where if you're not on WeChat in the Asian markets, it's kind of almost frowned upon. If you don't have a digital presence, they kind of use that as a decision-making process of, well, I'm not going to work with you because I work on WeChat, so therefore you need to, need to work on WeChat. Look at the Hootsuite report from last year, it's August last year. We've now hit a tipping point in terms of 3.8 billion internet users, so it's over half the population. 5 billion unique mobile phone users, that's a 67% penetration. I touched on mobile. Everything needs to be mobile first. All your content needs to be mobile first. If your content isn't mobile first, you're not hiding to nothing. You need to think about everything that you do is, back to that Forrester comment about where your customers and prospects digitally reside. Where they digitally reside is primarily going to be on their mobile phone. So if that's the case, does your content, does your messaging work in that format? So this whole sort of concept of social and social selling is all about engaging with your customers, your prospects and targets where they are. Fish where the fish are is sometimes an expression that I use. If you know the fish are there, then go fishing there. Try and take a bit of a step back and explain how the world of sales has changed. I mean, I spent the best part of 6 years in the world of recruitment, 15 years ago now, showing my age. And back then it was 100 cold calls a day. Didn't really have email, so didn't have the internet. As far as I can remember, it was very simply basic, basic level of it. And the brand was much more powerful back then. So what got me the extra 30 seconds on the phone was the fact that, hi, it's Alex Lowe, and I'm calling from Michael Page International. The brand was a recognised brand. I then had to go through my sales pitch. If you look at the Gartner Challenger sale process, which was originally Corporate Executive Board before they acquired it, and you can Google Challenger sale, it's all out there. They ask 3,000 buyers of services across the B2B space, what drives customer loyalty, or rather a driver of customer loyalty, and over half came back, 53% to be precise, of the buying experience. Company brand and impact only accounts for 19% of that loyalty, product, service delivery, 19%. Value to price ratios only 9%, and they wanted to drill down further to understand why the buying experience or the sales experience is so high in terms of driving customer loyalty, when the research supporting this also shows that we don't like being sold to, we don't like talking to salespeople. And the bullets that came back, or the further questioning, was offers unique valuable perspectives on the market, helps me navigate alternatives, helps me avoid potential landmines, educates me on new issues and outcomes. Service provider is easy to buy from. Service provider has wide set of support across the organization. So if I look back to my cold calling days, it was probably more likely 19% on the buying experience and 50% plus on the company brand and impact, but I still had to go through my elevator pitch. I still had to do those bullets. What has changed now and what has been proven time and time again is that actually typically by the time the customer, client, prospect, target, whatever you want to call it, decides to engage with a vendor of services, issues an RFP, issues an RFI, invites you into that first business meeting, picks up the phone, sends an email, whatever it might be, they've already done their due diligence. And the challenger sale process shows that typically that 57% of that due diligence is done by the time they engage with the customer. Now, what we're not saying here is it's, hi, I'm now ready, hi, pick up the phone, I'm ready to buy. It's, hi, I now have an opinion of you because I've done my research, I've been referred to you, I've read some marketing material, I've followed some of your CEO maybe, I followed maybe your CIO or a couple of your salespeople. But the point is that if you're going to engage in social selling in a meaningful way, you need to start thinking about your customer journey. You need to start thinking about, well, what have they done before they've got to me, or before I pick up that phone? Because what we're not saying here, again, from social selling, is that this is replacing the phone. And if you're working with consultants, or if you think that social selling means no more phone calls, then you are very, very mistaken, and you need to reset your thinking. Social selling is all about augmenting that first conversation or conversations. This is still a people business. This is still, human to human, if you want to use that analogy, and the phone key, plays an absolutely critical part of that. But if we, go back to the Forrester description of this, these buyers prefer to embark on a self-guided journey and they don't want to be sold to. Empowered buyers prefer to self-educate, gain third-party validation, and rely on peers to learn about new products, and increasingly prefer to use social networks to do so. So, back to that point around fish where the fish are, understand where your customers digitally reside. This is the point around, this is what social selling can help you unlock and understand, is what has the individual done before your sales team pick up the phone, or I don't care whether you're a lawyer, an accountant, a surveyor, whether you work in tech sales, it doesn't really matter. Your clients, your customers, your targets, your prospects will have all done something. They will all have some view on you. And what are you doing to understand that? How are you working with marketing to understand that? I'll go into this in a bit more detail further into this podcast. Still sticking with the challenger sale. And if you just follow the hashtag CEB Summit, you can see all of this research. But what they're showing now is typically in the buying cycle today, i.e. you're the buyer, only 17% of their actual total time is spent meeting with potential suppliers. You're the rest is shown as 18% researching independently offline, 22% meeting internally with the buying group, which is critical. If you're selling a high-value complex transaction, that you're not going to be selling to one person, but how are you helping that person navigate internally their own buying group, 27% researching independently online, and 16% doing other things. If you're familiar with the Harvard Business Review research in the summer of last year, they're showing that typically 80% plus of B2B purchases are now starting with a referral, and that peer recommendations are influencing more than 90% of those buying decisions. So let's just pause on that for a moment. 84%, to be precise, of B2B decisions are now starting with a referral. Not a cold call, it's not a marketing email, it's not a piece of thought leadership or a white paper, it's a referral. IT director 1 to IT director 2, can you recommend me somebody? They never say, can you recommend an organisation? Can you recommend me someone? General counsel 1 to general counsel 2. They never say, can you recommend me a law firm? They say, can you recommend me a lawyer and his or her team? Marketing director 1 to marketing director 2, same principle. CEO 1 to CEO 2, exactly the same people. This comes back to the point that people by people, and we're still humans. We're back to Gerd Leonhard's point around that what cannot be digitized is where true value will be driven. Ultimately, you're still dealing with human beings, but you've got to start to realize that we're tribe animals. We like to stick together, and we trust each other more so than we trust advertising. I think that's ever more present today with fake news, and do we trust pay for adverts, do you trust pay for marketing? When was the last time you clicked on a marketing email or a banner ad that followed you around the web? You're more likely to trust a one-to-one referral, where you then go on to that, as Forrester referred to it, that self-guided journey where you do your own validation, you do your own third-party reviews, you decide based on what I can find out on these people and these teams, subject to, you know, to the brand recognition, etc., etc., and I do recognise that, you're going to start to form an opinion. The CEB research also, well, the Gartner CEB research also shows that typically, if you have over 5 stakeholders in the buying process, your likelihood of sale drops to 30%. And that's actually grown from 5.4 to 6.8 in the last couple of years. So if your buying group is 6, and your likelihood of sale is 30%, or drops to 30%, because, you know, we don't like making decisions that, or rather, trying to make a group decision is much harder than an individual decision, going, right, let's just go with this, because we're risk-averse creatures. And it's the old, we all decided on going with this organisation together, therefore, you know, there isn't a single point of blame if it goes wrong. So, you know, 84% of B2B purchases start the referral. You've now got over 5 decision makers per complex transaction, which drops to a seller, likelihood of sale to 30%. All of a sudden, the sales process is looking pretty complicated, yet it is the buying experience which drives the customer loyalty, which seems to be a bit of a paradox in some respects. We don't like being sold to, but we like a good buying experience. So this is how social selling can really help you drive that better, that improved buying experience to drive customer, you know, to drive the customer loyalty. Again, Gartner refer to it as the power of prescription, but in simple terms, if you make it as easy as possible to buy from, the likelihood of sellers to go up and the value of the sellers likely to be higher. And if you think in your own lives, you know, the rule of 2 clicks on a website, can you get somewhere in 2 clicks? How easy is it? How easy is that buying journey through? I now want to find the solution to the problem, I now want to buy it, and I want to buy it simply and easily. If it can be done in 2 or 3 clicks, that is a good buying experience, and you're likely to go back for more. Okay, how Amazon is doing so well and why it's disrupting all industries, because it just makes it incredibly almost frictionless, if not frictionless, in terms of the buying experience. And this is kind of what we expect, and this is what we expect now more and more in the business-to-business world. So, you know, your website, how easy is your website to navigate? How easy is it? Do you guide people to where you want them to go to? I'd say 90% plus of corporate websites that I look at and that we work with when we're going through social selling programs is very me too. The website's all about the organization, how brilliant the organization is. It's not about how they can help the individual who's at the website solve the business problem that they're trying to achieve. I get a sort of pushback from lots of organizations, you know, sales, IT, doesn't really matter. Lawyers, accountants are saying, well, my buy market doesn't use social. We don't buy that way. This is not how we do things. So I then, you know, bring up the example of buying a car, for example. So I want you to visualize, let's say, a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW or high value car, let's say £100,000 worth of a vehicle that is a high value complex piece of machinery. The chances are that you or I could buy that on our phone without even talking to a salesperson. What is likely to happen is you will have brand loyalty based on previous cars you've driven before, based on service experience, whatever it might be, but you're thinking of upgrading to that next car. You will more than likely either go to your trusted network, now that could be online, so through Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Snapchat, doesn't really matter, or around the dinner table, or around the boardroom, or around the water cooler, it doesn't matter. You know, this is still social in terms of you are interacting with people, but what you're saying is, I'm going to buy this model. Who's got one? What are the pros? What are the cons? You know, would you recommend this and that and so on and so forth? So you start to build up your own view on it based on that third-party validation. You will then may go for a test drive, may not go for a test drive. You'll then maybe ask, you know, again, which dealership should I go to, because you want to get the best customer service, you want to get the best aftercare, you want to get the best deal. So that may not necessarily be the dealership that is closest to you, but again, you're not necessarily relying on the marketing from Mercedes, BMW, VW, it doesn't matter who it is, Porsche. You're relying on third-party research from, or rather third-party insight from your trusted network. It's more than likely then you'll go onto said website of the organization and start to build out the car. You'll start to, you know, click on different models, setups, all that kind of thing. The point is that you are going on that self-guided journey. The other point here is we're now moving into the world of intent data. Every single time you visit that website, every single time you like something on Facebook, every single time you share something on LinkedIn, every single time you follow somebody on Twitter, you are signaling intent to that organization. And that organization, if it's got its social selling program in place, if marketing and sales work together, should be using those data points to understand what the customer intent is. And I think this is where a lot of organizations are still struggling to get their head around of the kind of whole end-to-end social selling journey, because it starts way before you even have that customer contact, and then it continues through the buying process. So real world example here, when I bought our family VW a couple of years ago, I did pretty much built the car online, got to about 90% on the that self-guided buying journey, but a decent amount of cash, so actually wanted to go into the garage and have the final look around the car, ask the salesperson a few questions, and just be sure in my mind this is the right thing I was doing. I was pretty much ready to hand over the cash. The salesperson, on the other hand, assumed I was zero on that buying journey and tried to sell very hard to me, and half an hour later he walked out with no deal. Whereas all he needed to do is go to his marketing team and go, Mr. and Mrs. Lowe are coming into the showroom for an appointment. Have they signed into the website? Have they downloaded everything? What have they done? And he would have seen that if he just shut up, I probably would have sold the car myself. And this is where marketing and sales need to really start to work together, because you all pay tens of thousands of pounds a year for your website hosting, the content that goes onto your website. You have your clients, you have your targets, your prospects, your customers visiting your website, yet so very few seem to understand that these data points are hugely, hugely insightful in terms of where are they on that nominal, that Forrester self-guided journey. And so moving into the world of intent data, and intent data is, everybody in marketing should know what intent data is, and sales should certainly start to try and understand what intent data is. But in simple terms, any action taken by a lead that signals to the marketer who to focus on when and with what messaging. Whenever a customer takes web actions, i.e. reads articles, fills out a form, visits a web page, responds to a campaign, email clicks, or conducts research, posts on social media, comments on articles, they tell us what they want and need. And this is gold dust. But it's only gold dust if you understand how and why your clients buy from you. And again, do you actually go and talk to your clients? Do you actually have customer feedback programs? Do you understand do you have win-loss reviews? Do you have client account reviews? Are you asking these basic questions? Why are you buying from us? Who referred you? Was it referral? If it wasn't referral, how did you come to us? And then the how question is the critical. Because if you understand how they're buying from you, from right at the beginning of that purchasing process, the whole way through to getting them to sign on paper, all the way through to credit control, chasing the invoice. If you understand that how, that is going to unlock what you can do with your intent data, because then you will understand, okay, we understand how people buy from us. They typically do this, this, and this beforehand. If the salesperson then understands that, they can then have a completely different conversation with their clients or their prospects. But more importantly, this can then help marketing create better content, have better conversations, which then creates better data at the data points in the beginning of that sales conversation, that life cycle, which then will give you an even better buying experience. So this is the whole point about social selling. It's sales and marketing for the 21st century, but it's back to that point around the self-guided journey. It's back to that point, fish where the fish are. So you need to think about, unsurprisingly, the client needs to come first, and you need to think about how the client ultimately buys from you and why they buy from you. Sales and marketing need to start working hand in glove around all of this, because sales is at the forefront of speaking to their customers. They're hearing what is happening. They are getting the pushback. They should be listening on the ground in terms of what the latest trends are, what they need to be talking about. You then need to feed that back to marketing. Marketing needs to turn that into a story, which then needs to translate into that customer buying journey. And the point is, there's now technology out there which can help marketing do this. So, if you're a Dynamics 365 customer, you are already paying for this technology, unbeknownst to you, but you're already paying for this technology. It sits within their Microsoft social engagement tool, where you can feed the system, you can tell it to search, listen to any hashtag, search phrase, whatever you want, doesn't matter, and it will listen and it will tell you. And it will tell you down to the individual person that is actually tweeting, that is blogging, that is writing. You can understand sentiment, so are they talking positively or negatively about you? You can understand, you can teach intent, so if they say this, they mean this. If they are they looking to buy, they're looking for information, they're looking to actually make, you know, make a complaint. And this technology actually exists within certainly the Microsoft Dynamics 365 CRM system. Other products out there would do kind of social listening, but it's the first time that, you know, Microsoft or any organization has actually enabled the entire end-to-end journey to be joined together, so you have the entire social selling journey mapped out, which means that from a salesperson who engages in social as part of their overall playbook, they are going to be streets ahead of the competition, because they're going to understand what their customers are thinking, what their clients are thinking, what their clients are saying. But more importantly, they can see the third-party content that's trending around this. They can elevate themselves to become subject matter experts over and above salespeople. You know, back to that earlier point around the driver of customer loyalty is the buying experience. The buying experience is, I don't want to be sold to, I want to be helped, I want to be educated, I want to know that you know your stuff within my market. So if you work within retail, if you work within IT, if you work within life sciences, I don't care. You need to understand that industry inside out, so that they follow you and they work with you as a trusted advisor, in inverted commas, because you can help educate them on what is happening on the industry. And the kind of the aside is that your solution, your product, whatever it might be, just happens to support and dovetail neatly into the solution that they are trying to sell. So, you know, in summary, if you're looking at social selling and you're thinking about engaging in social selling, you need to think about the entire client journey. You need to think about your people. This is a people process technology piece. This is not investing in technology to become social, far from it. So, you know, if you invest in Sales Navigator, the best lead generation tool on the planet in the B2B space, that does not mean you are social selling. It is the mindset of sales and marketing that needs to change in order to get the best out of social, supported by content that is relevant, because you understand from your client base, either because you've gone and talked to them about how they buy and why they buy, but more importantly, you are now leveraging the intent data at a basic level. Even if you've got Google Analytics on your website, you know, go to your marketing team and ask them. I implore you, go to your marketing team and ask them, I'm going to visit Barclays tomorrow. When has Barclays last come to our website? What pages have they looked at? Has anybody from Barclays actually downloaded something? If somebody from Barclays has downloaded something, then that gives you a completely different insight into, you know, what their intent is and what they're thinking. You then start to overlay that with your social behavior on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever the social channel is, you know, fish where the fish are, where your customers and clients digitally reside. You understand that, then you are truly going to be A, becoming a social organization, but B, you know, engaging in social selling, which is just sales and marketing for the 21st century. But your customer is now far more in control of the buying process. I hope you found that useful and insightful. Any comments or feedback, you know, please do obviously let me know. Otherwise, until next week, I hope you enjoy this podcast.